was a guide and there were things unspoken.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. This is Thomas Tom Roper, and we are broadcasting at 93.9 on your FM dial, Smithers Community Radio, from the Kasaya Territory, Gitimdam Clan, and home of the Wet'suwet'en. I guess maybe you didn't get a chance. Fortunately, my wife is a bit of a obsessed Aurora Borealis. She got me up last night at 11:30, and we went out to Lake Catherine. What a light show. Actually, it's kind of beautiful out there to see something that we're not stressed about. Like, there's just too much news going on in the world. But anyways, I'm going to get back to our job tonight. We are going to bring you the part two of the Barrett Hat recreational story with Frank McDonald. That you may recall, if you happened to catch last week's production, we had working our way along the trail, and we were just getting close to going up the Hat. It's a very beautiful area up on Hungry Hill, probably about 15 or so kilometers west of Houston. And at one time in history, there was a fire lookout at that particular site. And so Frank McDonald and his group, Maurice Outdoor Rec Society, have basically rebuilt the area, made trails, and made it a very interesting place to go for a hike. So I'm going to pick it up. What we did was we did a recording, and we had a we were walking along the trail, and we actually found our way, and we recorded Frank and everything that was going on in that particular setup. So let's just see if we've got something here. The one thing that I did do is when we were on our last run with Frank, we were talking a little bit about his search and rescue. So I've got a song here that I was going to play on the last set, but I'm going to try it this time here. We'll give it a go. So we played that song. It's actually by a lady called Fontella Bass. And song Rescue Me hit the charts very heavily when it was done by Aretha Franklin. But she did not actually do the program, so it was an amazing situation that her, they call it the most popular song that she never wrote. So I thought we should get that one out for a start, and we're just having a little bit of a... There we are. Okay, so we're going to start up Frank's story right now. See if we can get that happening. Here we go.
Okay, Frank, well, that was that's very interesting that you're still involved in the search and rescue, and you're heavily involved in the Moores Outdoor Rec Society. When do you have time to work in the garden, Frank? I don't get it.
I just make time, I guess, and my wife does a lot of the main gardening. I look after the greenhouse more, but it's as a old retired guy, it's kind of, I can fit that in.
Right on, right on. There's always time. Now, the one other thing I wanted to chat a little bit about, Frank, you had mentioned the working in the mining world, and I've actually been fortunate enough to work a couple times in that world, and my last job, I was working for Huckleberry, and I was involved in the mine rescue team, and we had actually brought you out as a trainer. How did that work out, Frank?
Well, that was interesting. I started contracting as a mine rescue instructor at Huckleberry after my equity days, and you know, I had a small home business diversified called Hungry Hill Adventures, and so it was kind of like my mother would ask me what hat I was wearing that day, because I didn't do just one thing. But the mine rescue was something that I enjoyed doing, and so Huckleberry would ask me to go out there and train their new recruits, and also to train their rescue team for competitions. So, and then I actually also worked as a mechanic for Huckleberry for about 6 month period.
So. 6 months, Frank? That sounds like you really didn't want to stay too long.
I don't know that that was the case, but after about 6 months, my wife got a good job teaching out of town, and I felt that somebody...
Okay, Frank, well, that was that's very interesting that you're still involved in the search and rescue, and you're...
The greenhouse more, but it's... As a old retired guy, it's kind of... I can fit that in.
Right on, right on. There's always time. Now, the one other thing I wanted to chat a little bit about, Frank, you had mentioned the working in the mining world, and I've actually been fortunate enough to work a couple times in that world, and my last job, I was working for Huckleberry, and I was involved in the mine rescue team, and we had actually brought you out as a trainer. How did that work out, Frank?
Well, that was interesting. I started contracting as a mine rescue instructor at Huckleberry after my equity days, and you know, I had a small home business diversified called Hungry Hill Adventures, and so it was kind of like my mother would ask me what hat I was wearing that day, because I didn't do just one thing. But the mine rescue was something. Still had higher mountain ones that they might access by helicopter, but these local community fire lookouts became sort of obsolete. I don't think this one has had anybody in it since the early 60s. It was burnt down around 1967,
Was it burnt down by the forestry, Frank?
Correct.
Yeah, that must have been a bit of a strange time, because it's always nice to have cabins out in the woods, but they decided that it was possibly dangerous and maybe a fire hazard area.
Well, I'm not so sure about a fire hazard area, but the forestry, in their infinite wisdom, decided that there was possibility of some liability, somebody falling off or getting injured in some way, so they just started burning down old lookout towers.
I see. That seems like not a very good long-term thought, but it happened. So that the actual cement structure then was still left for you, Frank. We're just crossing a tree there.
Yeah, so the foundation was still here. And it was a popular place to come at one time until the trail got too badly blown over with beetle-killed trees and stuff like that. But now it's, as you can see just by the traffic today, pretty popular place again now that we've recreated the trails and put the shelter up and signage. Pretty popular.
Yeah, it seems very popular. Now, just going back to the shelter, how did you come up with that idea that you were going to build a gazebo?
I looked at other shelters around the area, took photographs of them, and then drew up a design that seemed to work. So then the planning process of how much materials, what it would cost, that sort of thing took place.
I see. Okay, well, we're just pulling up into the rocked area of the Hat right now. I'd say we're about halfway up the rise.
So I think it's probably a good time to bring in a couple of Frank's songs that he has enjoyed, and we'd like to share with the public here. So we'll start one off right now by the Be Good Tanyas.
Outside of every ear.
Well, there you go. Now that is the Two Good Tanyas. They have been kind of classified as old-timey blend of folk, country, and blues with very sweet harmonies and fine finger-picking. This was a Vancouver group that came together after meeting at the Selkirk School of Music in Nelson, B.C. and began touring in 2001. They took a hiatus in 2008 and then returned to their performance at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. So I've got, we're going to sign up and continue again with Frank's story. And let's see if we can come in right where we'd like to hear. We'll give it a go. Sounds like we're working our way up the trail here.
So, Frank, what would you say? This is your 500th ascent?
That's a good guess, Tom. 500, I really don't know. Lots.
And every time you come up here, does it feel like, don't you think to yourself, oh man, I've seen this before. I got to go somewhere else.
Well, that certainly happens. You know, you get so used to a place, you say, oh, let's go somewhere different today. But this is always a special spot and it's so close to home.
It is kind of like home, right? And that's really the nice part about it, you know? So Frank's got his dog, his new young puppy, Frank and Lorraine. He's a Border Collie Australian heeler, Ellie. Very sweet little dog. And we're all getting a chance to walk the dog. And doesn't seem to be bothering the dog going up the trail. But talking into the mic and walking has got me puffing a little bit.
Can't walk and
talk, Tom. No, we got to start just walking.
Walk or just talk?
There, we just came up the last rise and we're coming past the gazebo, looking out over the valley, and I'm telling you, this is a tremendous view. And the views all over the world are beautiful, and this is another one. You're looking down at the Bulkley River, and over to the other side there, is that the
Talqua Ridge?
Right, but is this lower ridge, or is that the ridge over there from
Grantham?
Grantham, okay, yeah. Right on. Perfect. So that's where that subdivision is. After you cross the walk bridge, the Walcott Rock Bridge, right, Frank?
Yeah.
And comes into the Grantham subdivision.
Yeah.
So here we are, we're looking at the gazebo. We're making it to the top. Here comes Lorraine. And Kathy is already up with us with Faith and Frank McDonald. And I am Thomas Tom Roper, coming to you from CICK Radio 93.9 on your FM dial. We're staring at this gazebo, and tell me a little bit more about it, Frank.
Well, the first thing you want to notice is that it's built on the old foundation.
That is so cool.
One of the prominent things when you come up, there's this yellow sign here, and it's stating that the shelter was built by Maurice Outdoor Recreation Society. But what was hugely implemental is the Dungate Community Forest that contributed funds to build this shelter.
Right.
And some of the other structures down lower at Valley Lake, the boardwalks and viewing platforms.
So there's been a lot of community help in the whole program.
Yeah,
right?
It's
a community project.
Yeah, and it's all volunteer.
Yes, exactly. So this foundation looks to be about 20 by 20.
It's 14 and a half by 14 and a half.
And it's got a perfectly fitting gazebo four-sided roof on there.
Pyramid roof, yeah.
Pyramid roof. Did you design that, Frank?
I did.
Come on.
Yeah. And I realized that it took some planning.
Figuring.
And one of the things that I wasn't sure about how to do the compound cuts on
right,
rafters
right.
And jacks. So I actually went online and found a computer program for roofs. So what I entered into it was the width of the foundation, the slope of the roof, the amount of overhang, the thickness of the materials that I used, and punched all the relevant information in, hit a button, and out came every cut I needed to make.
Isn't that amazing?
Every angle and length. So very carefully with my compound cutoff saw, just cut, and every single cut fit.
That
we never
is
wasted amazing. One board.
That is amazing. That is amazing, Frank. So who helped you in the actual construction?
I had a number of people that helped me, but probably the biggest two were Greg McLeod, a neighbor, and Tom Chatfield, who lives in Talqua. I had a couple of other guys, Al Elliott and Matt Johnson did a little bit up here, and then the fire crews that brought wood up and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't mention Tom Roper.
Did Tom Roper bring material up? I can't remember. It must be old age.
No, he didn't.
Well, we're just going to interject another song here. If you can vision a gazebo, generally they've got a swing in there and people are enjoying relaxing. And this is an old favorite that we had quite a few years ago. We're going to give it a go with John Anderson. And the song is called Swingin'.
There's a little girl in our neighborhood. Her name is Charlotte Johnson, and she's really looking good. I had to go and see her, so I called her on the phone. I walked over to her house, and this was going on. Her brother was on the sofa, eating chocolate pie. Her mom was in the kitchen, cutting chicken up to fry. And Daddy was in the backyard, rolling up a garden hose. I was on a porch with Charlotte, feeling love down to my toes, and we were swinging.
Swinging.
Yeah, just a swinging.
Swinging.
Little Charlotte, she's as pretty as the angels, and they sang. I can't believe I'm out here on the front porch in the swing. A swinging. On the front porch in the swing, a swinging. Now Charlotte, she's a darling, she's the apple of my eye. When I'm on the swing with her, she makes me almost high. Charlotte is my lover, she has been since the spring. Just can't believe it started on the front porch in the swing. We were swinging, yeah, just a swinging. Little Charlotte, she's as pretty as the angels when they sing. I can't believe I'm out here on the front porch in the swing. A swing. I said, little Charlotte, she's as pretty as the angels when they sing. I can't believe I'm out here on the front porch in the swing. A swing.
Well, there we have it. That's John Anderson with the song Swingin'. He's considered a neo-honky-tonker, born in Apopka, Florida in 1955. He grew up listening to rock and roll until he discovered country music at the age of 15. That's hard to believe, right through Merle Haggard. So It Swingin' was, John moved down to Nashville in the 70s, and he got Swingin' wrote and released in 1983 and became the biggest-selling country single ever for producer Warner Brothers. All right, we'll get ourselves back onto Frank's story here and see if we can locate where we left off there.
And directly in front of you would be Grouse Mountain.
Oh, it looks like we're a little bit further down
this
there.
Area here, sort of a little wetland. So you think the beavers have moved out?
No, I don't think they've moved out.
What?
But they're...
Let's see if we can try and bring
just
that up.
To the west of us here, about 75 meters.
Right. Okay. So this viewing platform here is part of the Moore's...
Maurice Outdoor Recreation Society, so the
gazebo. And tell me a little, we're flying back from Vancouver and you're going over all the mountains. There's some very
there
significant
go.
Mountains.
Yeah.
And I want the pilot to tell me where we are.
Yeah.
But they are too busy flying. But with this setup, I'm looking straight across. I can see the cut for Dockrell Creek.
Yeah.
I can
Dockrell
see the
Creek,
ridge.
Emerson Creek, Emerson Ridge. Grizzly Plateau, and as I said on the right, Hankin Plateau.
Right on. Oh, so Dockrell's coming.
This is Dockrell here. So that's.
What about this one here?
This comes in. And it comes down here.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, looks good.
So it actually ends up coming down here.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So there's quite a few names and the pictures. A little bit of history. What I hope to get is some First Nations input onto the history of this area and some of the names for the peaks. As yet, I'm struggling to get that information. It's a slow process, but I'm making
some headway. Yeah, some headway on that, Frank. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, it all comes together. I mean, there's always something to do to keep the project alive, you know?
And we mentioned some of the peaks earlier, the Babines and Hudson Bay and the Talquas. Well, now to the south, you see Maurice Mountain, and in the back, Nadina Mountain, and then way down towards the Cibolas.
That's the Cibolas down there.
You can just see down that way.
Right. Okay. That's where Huckleberry Mines is located, up in that area.
Way back there.
Right on. Okay, Frank, well, that sounds good. Well, we're just going to sit around for a little while and we'll chat, and then we're going to make our way back down and head to Johnson
Valley Lake.
Yeah,
sure.
Do you prefer Valley?
That's the official name.
I know,
Johnson
but you're not
Lake
very
is the
official.
Local. Oh, yeah.
A lot of
Yeah. Did you want to get in the shade for a
So right at this point up on the hat, we'd checked out all the views, and we were just going to get ourselves ready to head back down and over to Valley Lake, and the batteries went dead on the tape recorder. So it was actually pretty good timing, and I thought we would pick up one more of Frank's music favorites. And we've got a guy here by the name of Shaky Graves.
Thank you.
everything so left on the screen.
Well, that was Shaky Graves, and that is his sort of performance name. The man's actual name is Alejandro Rose Garcia, born in Austin, Texas. And Shaky intentionally creates thrilling musical adventures tailored for each fan. Kind of an interesting character. So it's a good point now. We're going to be heading over to Valley Lake. We're going to come back down the trail. So I'm going to take this opportunity to mention our sponsors and just to bring our call numbers back. You are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, on 93.9 on your radio dial. That's on the FM side. I'd like to thank the BV Concert Association for their sponsorship towards CICK, and also the Community Radio Fund is part of that sponsorship. We've also got a new sponsor, just lately has come forward, Ranch House Tattoo. And I would just also like to say that we've had Bugwood Bean on as a sponsor for a couple of years, and they're continuing to be so. So let's see if we can pick this show up again where we were. I've had a little bit of trouble because of the my timing on my recorded project has been disappearing on me. And so let's see if we can take it right off where it starts here and see what we can get.
You make these maps yourself, Frank?
Looks like we're on the here we are. We're looking for better here. So we're going to try and get ourselves into that.
Hubert is an international. It took some planning.
Figuring.
And one of the things that to the south you see
down what I saw. Would I take a picture of it and I could
enter
that?
You could take a picture, yeah. Sign on and view the Facebook page or... and directly in front of you would be Grouse Mountain, bush flitting around.
Yep.
And over to the left, I could hear ruby-crowned kinglet.
What I'd like to know is why are they American? Why can't they be a Canadian red star?
I can't help you with that one, Tom.
Yeah, right. Right, right.
Actually, they don't have them for themselves.
No, they probably don't. They've claimed a lot of birds that really, we could share them. It'd be much nicer.
There's
a duck over
there.
Yeah?
No, that's a deadhead in the water.
Oh, okay. Right.
But there's an eagle nest on that dead tree.
That dead tree behind it, yeah.
You can see the little bit of wetness on the rocks on the cliffs behind Helen Lake. That's where the falls are.
Well, that it's a really good place for you to hike to.
Which one? Faith.
So this rock right here, and you see how it's
directly
clear.
In front, there's cliffs. And on the left-hand side, there's a dark path coming down. That's wetness from the waterfall that's almost done for the summer.
Huh. And Frank has a trail going up there.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. But it's not. It doesn't go straight up. It zigzags.
Yeah, I've been up it a couple times there. Yeah, it's a good hike though.
It's a good
definitely
hike.
Good hike.
How long does it take to get up to the top?
I allow 5 hours round trip. I mean,
well, that's with exploring.
You could probably do it
too.
A lot less. But, you know, if I've got a group of people and we're taking pictures and having lunch. And
yeah. It always seems to take more time.
I mean.
So this, across the lake here, Frank, is the the Bible camp for the Salvation Army.
Yeah, that's Camp Mountain View from the Salvation Army.
Camp Mountain View,
you
okay.
See some paddlers in a canoe.
Ah, yeah. And then,
so, further the trail here, we have a trail system here. It's mapped and signed.
Right.
And it goes around the lake on the west side. And down in the northwest corner, we have another viewing platform.
Okay.
And then past the end of the lake, it looks like there's a wetland there. So we have a big wetland and we have a boardwalk. Going across the south end,
right.
Trail goes around the east side of the wetland, another boardwalk at the north end of the wetland, and then the trail comes back down the west side. It all joins up here.
Pretty extensive, right?
Yeah, and it's all well signed and well marked.
So this is right in conjunction with the Barrett Hat?
Yeah, it's all part of the Barrett Hat recreation area.
Right.
And we do have a Facebook page. It's Barrett Hat / Valley Lake Recreation Area, so people could sign on and view the Facebook page or put their photos on or comments about their hike that day.
Right.
Or
right.
Possibly maintenance issues.
There you go. Or they could join the organization.
They could, yeah.
So I'm going to slip in another song at the moment, one of my old-time favorites, and that we kind of relate a little bit to the area that we're in right now. It's Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird.
For sure, you'll never ever fade. You're lovely, but it's not for sure. I won't ever change, and though my love is great, and though my love is. I don't know where my home is. need a tear, even after all these years, and it pains me so much to tell that you don't know me that way, and though my love is
So that was, of course, I'm Like a Bird, with 35 million albums worldwide. Nelly has become the undisputed icon whose innovative songwriting shaped an era and actually transformed pop music. Her Nelly sound earned her 10 Junos and several Grammy and Latin Grammy awards, along with millions of fans worldwide. Okay, so we're going to get ourselves back to Frank's story, and we're now at Valley Lake. We are on the viewing platform, and we're looking out on the lake and seeing what birds are out there, and just listening to how they put together their operation out there. So let's pick it up here.
So I just heard a common yellow throat here. It's kind of a witchety witchety sound.
Okay. We haven't seen him.
No, you may not see him.
Right. There's a dragonfly just coming by. Mm-hmm. Kind of a nice area here, sort of a little wetland. So you figure the beavers have moved out?
No, I don't think they've moved out, but they're having a hard time.
Right.
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 It's a matter of how much food they have.
Right.
And the dam was broken last fall. I don't know if it, or early winter. I don't know if it was human caused or natural. So.
Right.
Yeah.
House and home. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And they have to find somewhere else to
head to another spot, a little more.
So
poplars.
This originally, the dam was higher, and there was a bit of a ditch from this end to
irrigation,
an alternate irrigation lake. So they were trying to deflect water down to that lake for the water rights down at Barrett Station.
Right. For the farmers.
For the farmers.
Right. Now this is the head end of that water system. When was that going on, Frank? Was that probably in the 50s when that started?
I'm not sure when it started. Probably earlier than that.
Mm-hmm. What do you got your eye on over there?
I'm looking at a couple of female ringneck ducks with some ducklings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a very peaceful place.
Except for the highway.
Yeah.
These two out here are Barrow's Goldeneye.
Oh, yeah. Up on the cross-country track, they've got a Goldeneye Lake up there. Named after that.
On the Pine Creek trails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Looks like four canoers out there.
Yeah.
Is there a loon in the lake, Frank?
Quite often. I don't see one at the moment.
Right.
But they can go between Government Lake, which is just to the northeast of here, this lake, Denalter Lake, Barrett Lake. So they're all within, you know, a couple of minutes of here.
Right.
Like we don't think they breed here, but they come here to eat. And
right. So there is fish in the lake.
Not as far as you're concerned.
Right.
It's
right.
A hotel on lake.
Right.
They put fish in here.
Right.
Yeah, it was talking.
Yeah, we used to come here ice fishing in the winter a couple times.
But it does get stocked, but it also is subject to winter kill.
Right.
Three of them in the lake. Swimming.
Well, you have to swim in the middle because there's a lot of reeds.
They've got a nice little dock over in the corner.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Put the binoculars on them and see what they're doing.
Yeah, binoculars are also good for spying. Oh, maybe.
They do.
I think there's people in the water.
Yep.
Well, let's see if they can get in back. And go, oh, yeah, pretty good.
Right. Kids having a good time in the summer.
Great time.
Yeah. Well, you guys have put a lot of work into the trail networking and the building of the viewing platforms, Frank. It's been quite a labor of love.
I guess so. That seems, you know, like it's just something that I've enjoyed doing and giving back to my community, I guess.
It's his passion, actually. I always thought it was his passion to get this done. But now it's done, so he needs something else now, a new passion.
A new trail.
Right.
I've got lots of them. Frank has trails all over the place.
Yeah. Not just here at this area.
Yeah. He's got lots of great trails on what we don't tell other people.
No. Well, some of them have to be a little bit private at times, you know.
No, actually there's one. It's three telephones up from the ice falls.
Three power poles.
Equity. Yeah, three power poles up.
From the ice fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of do like people going on because then it could be more protected.
Keeps it open a little bit, too.
Yeah, but also it could be more protected. It could get, don't ask me, like a status.
Right.
That would protect it a little bit.
Well, what Lorraine is talking about is you get trails that are commonly used. They might not be registered as a official trail.
Right.
But if they can get spatially recognized, and if there's resource development, then there's usually a referral goes out about this trail there prior to extraction or whatever.
Right. So it's a form of protecting to a certain extent, certain areas. Okay, Frank. Well, I think what we're going to do is close down our discussions, and we're going to head back to Smithers. We've had a really wonderful day.
Yeah, that was a good
hiking
good
around
hike
with you and
sharing information and ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And it was fun hanging out with Kathy and Rhonda and Lorraine.
And me and Faith.
And who?
Ellie.
Ellie. Oh, and don't forget Ellie the dog, the puppy dog. And we'll get ourselves together and we'll put a little bit of music in with our discussion and see if we can get a show.
Let me know You betcha. More options than you need.
Yeah, you bet. Because I think we can only get 5 or 6 on.
Sure.
There.
What's that duck that's out there right now? Is he right close
there? So this is Thomas Tom Roper. I'll be signing off. And we are with CICK Radio 93.9 on your FM dial. And it's been an enjoyable morning and early afternoon. Been a beautiful day. We've seen some great scenery and kind of completed our job of checking out the bird viewing platforms and the trails and this whole operation of the Barrett Hat recreational area. So it's been a pleasure bringing this information to you today, and we will catch up with you again on the flip side. So I thought we would just have one last song that we could squeeze in there before we run out of time, and it's kind of pretty related to the viewing area. And this guy, David Francie, was actually in Smithers at one time, and this song got fairly popular, called The Red-Winged Blackbird.
Red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird. Red-winged blackbird down my road. He'll be there beside the river when winter finally breaks its bones. He'll be king among the rushes. He'll be master of his home. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird. Red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird. Red-winged blackbird down my road. Safe as Moses in the rushes, builds his home on the river white. Every time I hear him singing, makes me feel like spring in sight. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road. Last year of how he's going back there too. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road. Thought I heard a red-winged blackbird down my road.
So that concludes our program tonight. We were on location at the top of Hungry Hill, just 15K or so west of Houston, British Columbia, at the Barrett Hat Recreational Area on Barrett Hat Road. We've had a fun opportunity to actually hike the area that we were promoting, and joined forces with Frank McDonald and his wife, Lorraine, along with friends Kathy and Rhonda.
Big thank you to everyone involved in this production. And be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now, Monday, August the 26th at 6 p.m. for more On the Ropes Adventure, 93.9 on your FM dial.